You know what song I got stuck in my head?
What?
Crocodile Rock.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one to get stuck in your head.
Yeah. Remember when we were young.
No, I always think of NFL Rocks, which is this VHS I had when I was a kid. And it was basically just big hits and touchdowns. And it was like a 2-hour music video.
And they used Crocodile Rock?
That was the halftime show. And it was just Crocodile Rock and a bunch of cheerleaders. So Crocodile Rock was like burnt into my head because it was like the first time I saw lots of ladies.
It's incredible that Crocodile Rock doesn't make you think of crocodiles, considering how much you love the Gators.
I love Gators. You know, crocodiles, you're cool too. Don't think I disrespect you, but I'm a Gator boy first. But, you know, crocodiles do rock, you know. I don't know what to do about it, you know. But, I fed a crocodile not too long ago, Maximo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fucker ate a rat, dude. He had a couple rats. You know, crocodiles in zoos, they eat like 3 rats a week.
That's it?
17-foot crocodile, that's all they eat. Isn't that crazy?
My God, welcome to Last Podcast on the Left, ladies and gentlemen. My mind is blown. They're only eating 3 rats a week. My name's Marcus Parks. I'm here with the man that has all the croc facts, all the gator facts, Ed Larson.
Yes. You gotta watch out for those crocodiles. Gators are bees. Crocodiles are wasps.
Wow.
White Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Unfortunately, today, though, we are missing our boy Henry Zebrowski. In case you didn't know, Henry's father passed this week, so we're giving him the week off. And instead of a new episode, what we're going to be giving you guys this week is 2 update episodes. We released one on Monday. That would be the Enfield Poltergeist. And today we're going to be...
Think they did it.
You don't think so?
No, the kids? The ghosts. I think they're innocent. This ghost slander has gone too far.
That means that the kids did it.
Yes.
Goes completely against what you said in the update episode.
I don't remember.
Well, I guess to explain a little bit about the update episodes, what we're doing with that, of course, we did last update on the left as a SiriusXM exclusive all last year, but now we're able to release those episodes for free to the entire audience on our main feed. So what we're doing is we're basically, when we have a week where we don't have like a Last Podcast classic, you know, the big, thick, meaty
episodes. Yeah, your Patty Hearst, your Batavias.
Yeah, and the massive one that we've got started. We got a big history series coming up next week that I am so fucking pumped for. We've already started working on it.
I've been more excited for anything, to be honest with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is the top banana for me.
This one's such a big one. It's got so much history. It's good. It's so fucking thick, you're not going to be able to swallow it.
Yeah. Lots of, headshots. That's a little teaser. We got some headshots.
That's a really good teaser, and it works on a lot of different levels, really, on this story. On the weeks that we don't have like a big, thick, meaty episode, we're going to give you guys an update episode to kind of fill in the gap. So thank you very much, everybody, for understanding this week. We appreciate the outpouring of support that you guys have given Henry. Henry very much appreciates it as well.
Jackie as well.
And
too.
Jackie absolutely appreciates it.
It's a hard time. And you never know when these things are going to happen. And so shout out to Big Henry. And in honor of you, Big Henry, we're going to talk about your most favorite thing in the world.
Columbine. Yeah. I don't know if it was. It might have been his favorite flower. I don't know. It could have been.
Oh, if he was there to stop him. If he was the cop on campus.
It was 1999. No cops on campus.
We did. We had them.
Really?
Yeah, I had cops on campus the whole time.
Wow.
But also, like, you went to a tiny school. I went to a school of like 700 kids in my graduating class.
Jesus. Twice the size of my town.
Yeah. So that's, we're huge.
No. Rochester ISD in Texas did not have any cops. We had one cop in town. Actually, you know what? I take that back. We did have a cop on campus because our town's cop was also the school maintenance man.
Yeah, you got to have lots of jobs.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah, lots of hats. And they're all covered in shit.
Well, enjoy this update episode, everybody. And we will be back next week with a brand new episode. Some thick history stuff. Can't fucking wait for it. But thank you very much. And we'll see y'all soon.
420, blaze up. Yeah, Columbine, you.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Last update on the
left.
That's how you want to start? I had a whole, we had a fine bit already worked out, and you made us restart so you could turkey gobble.
I'm getting ready to talk, right? Because this is going to be a serious one of these, right? Is this serious today?
I mean, it's going to be serious-ish, yeah. I mean, it's Columbine. Welcome to Last Update on the Left, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Marcus Parks.
I'm not happy about Columbine Henry Zebrowski.
I'm Ed Larson, and Columbine is bad.
You know what? Thank you. First of all, it's just nice to set the tone up top.
Yeah, yeah. Baseline Columbine was bad.
The massacre.
The massacre.
The shooting, not the city.
The town's fine.
I don't know. I've never been to the town.
They're scarred, but they're fine.
The flower is also fine. You know, the Columbine is the state flower of Colorado.
Yes, you taught me this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I was just as fascinated then as I am today. Now, I will say we covered, this is our update of our Columbine coverage from almost a decade ago.
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe more than a decade ago, getting real damn close.
Isn't that crazy?
It really is. No, I remember we recorded, I was recording the Cowmen album that we released in many, many years ago, almost a decade ago.
Yeah, and you guys did such a good job that nothing like this ever happened again.
What was really important about what we do here as an organization is we stop crime before it begins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's why, as you've noticed, the incredible decline in mass shootings across this country ever since we put out our episodes.
Yep.
But we did get some things incorrect, which is why we've decided to update those episodes. So number one, you want to go back and listen to what we talked about back then. It might help.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if we need to recap the Columbine massacre. We know what happened on 420 in 1999.
Man, that was my second 420.
Yeah, I know.
It was fucking, I was having a great time. I skipped school. By the way, all the Stoners lift. They all skipped school. and they weren't there, but I've skipped school. I'm fucking hanging out. I'm smoking with my boys, and we put on the TV.
My fucking buzz just got fucking majorly harshed.
No, literally, everyone's just like, I'm going home.
I'm going home. And so we now know that it was Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold. I don't think we need to go through all of the various details that we covered from back in the day.
I mean, really, I read back through the script that we had. This was actually before we started doing super detailed episodes where we went through like point by point, blow by blow, everything that happened, like we just did with the Anders Breivik series, where we went through the entire thing. With Columbine, we just, and this is how we sort of used to do the shows back in the day, is it's like we worked off of assumed knowledge a lot, where we just, you know, assumed everyone listening, like, you know what Columbine is. If you don't, these guys could let, you know, it's like a paragraph. And then going into like sort of like analysis of the situation, talking about what, you know, people believed at the time and what was the actual truth. And that was sort of the tack that we took with it. We based a lot of the episode, not just on one book. We also used a few articles, but a lot of it was based on a book called Columbine by this guy named Dave Cullen, which is an incredible book. It's fantastically written. And what his supposition was with the book was that, you know, Dylan Klebold was kind of a puppet of Eric Harris.
Yes.
Eric Harris
was the aggressor.
Eric Harris was a psychopath. Like, he was the one that was a little more handsome. Dylan Klebold was the one with the big moon face.
Yeah.
And that
They
were both ugly men, yes. But
one has to be uglier.
One has to be uglier, and Dylan Klebold was
the uglier one.
Yeah, definitely. But Eric Harris was a psychopath, according to Dave Cullen, and that Dylan Klebold was extraordinarily depressed, and that Eric Harris kind of used Dylan Klebold as kind of a little assistant, someone to kind of cheer him on while he was doing it, and that Dylan Klebold was sort of a passive passive character in this that just sort of went along with the whole thing.
And the time when I read the book, like, I was I had my mind blown because I had heard the original sort of pitch about Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, and we all sort of internalized it as a country because we were forced to. The idea that these were two misunderstood goth kids that were bullied and pushed to the point of murder. And then when Dave Cullen's book came out, that refuted that in a way that we all thought was really closer to the truth, which it does prove to still be closer to the truth, which is the idea that Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were aggressors and were kids that, yeah, sure, they were bullied, but they were also bullies into themselves. And that Eric Harris was a little bit more of a ladies' man, which is one of the corrections that we're going to get into because that's not real. But like certain things was like it pushed the spectrum to the other side where yeah. It wasn't just a bunch of like nerds that got pushed too far. And then it was a thing about bullying and then also still kind of created an anti-nerd movement across the country, anti-goth movement across the country.
Dude, very much so. I was in high school when this happened. I was a junior in high school. I was in student council, actually, when this happened. And I remember them all sitting at the next day when I decided to come back to school and out of my stone stupor. And I remember them all sitting.
I must go. The children need my leadership.
Honestly, I probably said something very similar. And I remember they had like we had a 2-hour meeting with like cops came in and like they sat down. Student
and this
council,
is in Boca Raton, Florida.
Boca Raton, Florida. And I remember during our meeting, like they made us we had lunch like in the classroom and like while we're doing some kid dressed up in a black trench coat. Stood up in the cafeteria. It was like, Trishko Mafia, motherfucker. And then, you know, and then he later got his ass kicked by all the black kids. Mm. But but it was unfortunately a stain on the goth community.
Of course.
And everyone hated the goths for a little while.
Well, let's go back and revisit some stuff.
Well, I want to revisit a 9th grade Henry Zebrowski. Because
and then we'll get to the goths.
One of the truly, honestly, one of the worst repercussions of Columbine, besides the death and this wave of anti-goth thing, is that the play I was in the 9th grade was canceled. The one that I was in. It was a play by, which is like also interesting, by the very talented Woody Allen. Called Don't Drink the Water, which is a play that we did at the time. And
Very appropriate.
The play was canceled because there was a gunshot and a bomb in it, and it was coming out that summer, the same summer as when Columbine happened. And a little truth teller by the name of Henry Zebrowski, a little too real for high school, was interviewed asking about the implications of this.
Interview by a local news station?
Tampa Bay Times.
Are you serious?
Yes.
No, I want to know, like, I see you've got it pulled up in front of you. How are you going? Are you going to read this in 9th grade Henry Zebrowski voice? Or are you going to read this in such a way as to make you sound better?
I'm going to read it exactly as I was delivered.
I think it's terrible.
That's Jackie. That's my sister.
That's you.
That's Jackie. I was the president. I got to be president of the drama club. You cannot do that while being inarticulate.
You were president freshman year?
No, I was already being scouted.
No, so you was not president at the time.
They already knew. All right.
I got so many lies in this immediately.
They got pushed right to the front. So this is like, so there's a lot of talk about here. So it was canceled. And then they decided to talk to me. So this is the quote from the actual, from the reporter, Brian Gilmer, who I don't remember, from back in the day. So this is what Henry Zebrowski said. We see basically why they did it. I'm angry still. I poured a lot of work into the play, and some of my grades suffered. It was just important to all of us. Yes, they all watched, and I stood forward, they said. And then Henry Zebrowski then said, the administration knew that they might be taking it too far, but they said it might be better to take it too far. And so, yeah, not only was I a warrior for the first, not only was I a warrior for free speech, but also I reached across the aisle in a John McCain way. So even as a 9th grader, I was a maverick.
Yeah, and what I'm gonna do is read it how I'd imagine it actually sounded.
We basically see why they did it. I'm angry still. I poured a lot of work into the play, and He's some of my me. Grades suffered. It was just important to all of us. You see, I am the source. Yeah. So you see, now you really got to see what happens in media. Now, this is all this entire little play act that these two did.
I don't
because they weren't actually making fun of me. This was a play act to talk about the subjective nature of information and how it's represented by the media and how like, and you really have
worked really hard on
on it.
You see, again, it's about how, but then when you hear me, right, imagine an American flag behind me. Norma Rae wasn't wearing a bra, standing on top of the table going, union, union. All everybody was like, that's when they were asking me to unionize. And I said, no, dictatorship.
Yeah.
And then I came forward and they all chose me. Because you also see, there were seniors in that play that could have been talking to the reporter.
I just think your drama teacher wanted to go to Nassau that summer. It was like, oh, this seems like a great opportunity to cancel this fucking bullshit.
Mrs. Webster is quoted in the article talking about how she fought for us.
Yeah.
Wow. Mrs. Webster. How was Mrs. Webster?
We had a strange relationship.
Oof. I've never heard this before. How strange.
We had a strange relationship.
Didn't like that you were so outgoing and cursed occasionally?
Well, the thing was is that much like an aforementioned, let's just say the former president of the United States, I was so popular, I was inevitable. And so the problem was is that they could not stop me. They couldn't stop the train from going.
You're dodging the question, though.
No, I'm just
strange.
Saying.
What? Strange.
It's exactly the reason why traditional media doesn't want to let me inside of its halls.
Uh-huh.
Because what they're afraid of is that I will then change everything.
Yeah.
From the inside
out. But that's not answering the question of what kind of strange relationship you had with Mrs. Watson?
Mrs. Webster. Sometimes the student becomes the master.
She hated you. Because you were full of yourself.
No. No, we were fine.
Okay.
But it was weird. It's like not interesting. It's hard to describe what our relationship was like because towards my senior year, because when I was president of the drama club and then became like, it did sort of feel like I was building sort of a little regime around me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I think that people were getting angry.
I remember
then I took over the talent show and then, you know, my tastes have not changed all that much.
Right.
Yeah. But I also had the power of the assistant principal. Who was on my side. Mm-hmm. And then we would get together. He would pull me from class so that we could coordinate because we always would do a big lip sync. The popular dudes and the assistant principal would do a lip sync at the end of the talent show.
Wow. Yeah.
And so we'd always do like, we did NSYNC.
Mm-hmm.
We did Full Monty, which is actually, now I realize that's weird.
We did Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Full Monty was very popular back then.
Oh, yeah. But then I danced the Full Monty stripping dance with my assistant principal.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, wow. We took our pants off.
Seems illegal.
No, you know, we did it.
Yeah.
Well, 1999, 2000, was it the turn of the millennium was a strange time for us all.
It really was.
My drama teacher junior year pulled me aside and said, you are keeping me away from having a clean drama department.
Live from your grave. So when we covered the Columbine series, like I know with Dave Cullen's book, like some people have a huge problem with it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. They have a huge problem with it because I think they want Dylan Klebold to have much more responsibility than Dave Cullen paints him out to be. Because in the time when we recorded the episode, if I remember correctly, like we sympathized with Dylan Klebold a little bit. You know,
well,
like I myself said, but for the grace of God, go I. You know, with Dylan Klebold, like being a very depressed kid, being a very depressed high school kid, and, you know, just someone like Eric Harris, if there was like a character like that, you know, scooping up a depressed kid and turning him into a killing machine. And, you know, the refutations, I totally get. Because people have come out and like said, like Dylan Klebold's mother would be like, no, my son was a dangerous individual.
Well, that's the big difference.
Yeah.
Is that her book, A Mother's Reckoning, came out in 2016. We did our episodes in 2015. So it was before that included dialogue.
Yeah.
I also partially think the reason why people just get upset across the board because this is an extremely touchy subject.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kids killing kids makes nobody like super happy.
No.
It's again, not a blast. Not a lot to joke about.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people then obviously attach super hyper emotional issues to this.
Yeah.
And I also think that there are people that want, unfortunately, this is my pushback, they want the nerds being pushed to the edge narrative to be real. They want that to be real. I think a part of the reason why people are mad about the Dave Cullen thing, it's just more that Dave Cullen pushed it all the way to the other side. And it wasn't until A Mother's Reckoning came out that we really saw her deep dive into her son's own journals that showed that Dylan Klebold was a lot more of an active member of the two than it was kind of shown in the beginning.
Well, there wasn't a ton of push. As far as like the bully narrative goes, like there is some pushback on that. That's not a huge thing.
It's
like,
not a huge thing. I'm just saying why people have the emotional reaction.
You need a reason.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They want a reason. Everybody wants a reason.
Because they said, like, Sue talked about Dylan asking, like, his father, like, what to do about younger kids that are picking on him. And during sophomore year, Dylan said something to Tom about, like, hating the jocks. They don't bother me. I'm 6'4", but they sure give Eric hell.
Yeah, but Eric was a piece of shit.
Yeah, Eric was a fucking asshole. Like, he was an absolute fucking dickhead.
I will not take that off the plate.
No,
he was an asshole dickhead that technically, I'm glad he's dead. I mean, I'm glad they're both fucking dead. But the thing is that they did not receive any more bullying than anybody else that was a standard fringe member of high school society.
They received far less bullying than the goth kids, because that was the horrible thing about it, is that they were the ones who bullied the goth kids. I mean, the F word thrown around quite a bit at the goth kids, the actual trench coat mafia, because it all came from, like, it's such a dumb high school thing. One goth kid bought a black duster for a Halloween costume, for a fucking Dracula costume, thought it was super cool, started wearing it to school. The other goth kids started wearing their trench coats too, and they're like, fuck yeah, trench coat mafia, bro.
Yeah.
The reason why Dylan and Eric wore trench coats so they could hide their guns.
Yeah.
Like, so they could carry weapons. And also because they thought it looked super cool. They didn't have anything. Like, they did at one point, like, I think Eric floated, like, the idea to one of those kids. We're like, man, wouldn't it be, like, awesome if we just took guns and, like, shot up the entire fucking school?
Yeah.
But the kid didn't bite at all. He's like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
Yes.
Because he floated it around. He was basically trying to see if there was somebody else who would bite to help him, because Eric Harris was a pussy and he didn't want to do it alone. I do think that that's a big thing. He didn't want to do it alone. He wanted his own self-fashioned assistant.
Yeah, he did. He did groom Dylan Klebold for it, but that's the thing. The point that is made that I think it's a great point, and I don't think that we brought it up in the show, is that, you know, he could have told somebody at any time. Dylan could have told someone at any time.
Well, back then, this is like the first time this really happened. No one thought anyone would really do anything like this.
Well, and there had been a lot of...
had a lot of mass shootings across the history of America.
But not like this.
Kids. Well, not kids shooting other kids in high school. I think there was...
Except for the I Hate Mondays girl.
But yeah, but that was an anomaly, and it was quite a long time before that.
It was.
And the University of Texas, of course.
Yeah, and that was in the 60s.
Yeah.
But like high school kids killing other high school kids, like that was because leading up to the shooting, like there was a lot of people that had reported Eric Harris to the police, specifically this kid, I think his name was Brooks. Like Eric Harris had like directly threatened this kid on his fucking website, which is probably like geocities.com/southbeach/4748.
Yeah, dude.
You know, like fucking, he was a GeoCities site, definitely, or Angel Fire or some shit like that, the type of websites you used to code yourself.
Yeah.
But the cops, they reported that. He had been reported for making pipe bombs. He'd been reported for a lot of shit, and the cops just sat on it. They didn't.
Yeah.
They just didn't do anything.
And we saw those kids being kids and kids saying fucked up shit, and they didn't. Like, on one hand, they're trying to, their hands are in that way tied because it's like now they come down on you like a pile of bricks. But back in the day, it was way more like, you know, like they weren't trying to over police the kids. They were trying to, like, you know, let kids be kids. Also, no money, which we discover is a pattern with police. They never really want to get involved in a family as much as they can because of how complicated it is and how much like everybody has to go to court.
Yeah.
Now, and no one wants to deal with it. So,
that's also where the most incidents occur, is in domestic situations.
Yeah. Yes. And that they, and a lot of times, what do? They're like, you must press charges. We have to separate you. And we have to. So it's either like, it either goes to, there's no like 4 out of 10 on domestic violence. It has to either go like 10 out of 10, we're taking one of you out of the situation, taking you to jail, or we're like, leaving. We're just gonna be like, all right, bye. You know, like, and so there's nothing they can do. And so something like this, our mistake really was painting or just fully like this idea that Dylan Klebold was like just some coasting person.
And I think it was because we may have identified with him too much.
I think that we view, especially as younger
I know I men. I know I certainly did.
Yeah, and as younger men, I feel like that was, it was more like you could see more of this, but as I get older, the more I separate from that and understand that, like, homicidal actions change everything.
Yeah,
they you do. Know, like, of course, but it's really like that point of it being like, everybody gets bullied. Everybody gets treated like shit. I don't know. I don't know anybody who wasn't. I know the people that weren't bullied then just got, like, to be frank, ugly. They just, like, grew up into some, like, they were like, anybody who was hot in middle school became fucking gross piece of shit later on. Like, they all turned into just Facebook blobs later on down the line. And so, but for me, I look at this and I think at the time, I thought that that made more sense. And it does not make sense to me. Now I look at it and be like, he must have had, like, you it takes two.
Yeah, it does. And my understanding of things, like, at 41 is so much larger than
I know how much more
at,
I
at 31.
Also, I know how much more I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
At fucking 40 versus then.
Yeah, I mean, because at 31, you know, I was a lot closer to adolescence than I am now.
Still romanticized it.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, and still, like, looked at that time, like, in, yeah, a little bit more like rose-colored glasses. And now I understand a lot more about psychopathology. I understand a lot more about the brains of these people and their and what they do. And I have a lot less sympathy. It's just that, you know, but there was one day when, you know, just the moment it crosses over into homicidal nature, then, you know, no fucking sympathy whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just none at all. Like, you just lose all of it the moment you do. The moment you hurt someone else,
yeah,
it's like, fuck
any you. Form of violence, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, that's my opinion.
Yeah. And there was also, you know, other shit in Cullen's book, like, you know, things that, like, because Cullen made sure to say that Eric Harris was a ladies' man.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. He was pushing it to the other side.
Yeah, he was pushing to the other side. The Eric Harris, like, was very popular. Mm-hmm. And he just pushed it too far. He pushed it over, like, saying that, like, he got dates all the time. But based on his journal entries, like, Eric likely died a virgin. But on the other hand, like, that doesn't, just because you died a virgin doesn't mean that you weren't going on a lot of dates. I was going on a ton of dates before I lost my virginity.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was more so that he was an aggressive loser, like in the aggressive loser category in high school. But still, girls were just saying the words that they thought he was cute.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of a traditional, especially if you're an elder millennial, there was a style. During this time period, like 1999, I remember because it was like right after I moved from New York to Florida. And in New York, we were all still like in 1989. You know what I mean? Like, it was way like...
Like, you all looked like you were in the Beastie Boys.
Yeah,
yes.
Leather jackets and shit.
I had my jeans. Starter jacket, my Looney Tunes... Dresses, rappers.
I mean, we all had
sure,
that.
Yeah, we had that.
Yeah.
That was very popular.
But then that kind of changed when all of a sudden I moved to Florida and it was like that Abercrombie and Fitch style.
PacSun.
All that stuff just took over.
Janko jeans.
Everybody.
FUBU.
And Eric Harris was like a really good example of the style of dude that every girl was kind of talking about at the time, as far as I was concerned. Mm-hmm. It was just like thin, spiky blonde hair, like kind of like... Looks kind of like the bully from
kind of a
Doug.
Prick.
Yeah. Like kind of a prick. Like people, I mean, and I hate to say it, girl. Like everybody at the time thought a prick was like super sexy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it. I'm crazy. Maybe I'm wrong.
It was a rough time. 1999 to like 2005 was like a rough time for
psychologically
to be a young man in society.
Yeah. It was intense.
We were taught all the wrong shit.
And yeah,
so,
we were.
Yes, we were. And so Eric Harris, I think, was just a full example of that. And that it was just more that Dylan Klebold was extremely ugly.
Yeah.
And Eric Harris was just kind of vaguely normal looking. And so some girls just said that he was cute. And that's what he took off running with that. And then also Cullen kind of portrayed the Klebold and Harris family as a little bit richer.
Yeah.
Than they probably were.
Far more. Yeah. It's like, it's small factual inaccuracies. Like he would say that, you know, Klebold's mother was Jewish when Klebold's mother was, in fact, half Jewish. Mm. You know, he would say that they were wealthy when really their house was large, but it was a fixer upper with a lot of rats.
Also,
you know,
Columbine's a nice place.
Columbine's a very nice
place. Someone who came from Boca Raton, a lot of people go poor trying to live in these nice places.
Oh, of course. My parents live in a part of Florida that when we were struggling in New York, then moved to Florida, and then it was we moved to a nice neighborhood in Florida because we could afford it versus our bad neighborhood in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were then weirdly not like the poor people in a very rich neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that was one of those sleeper Florida neighborhoods where it was filled with extremely rich people.
Yeah, that same thing happened to us.
Yeah. I was down the street from Hulk Hogan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had Mike Tyson.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, he tried to bring tigers. They're like, Mike, you got to get rid of the tigers.
What if I told you my animal nature would lose me to connect with the tigers?
Magical. We know, Mike.
I had a guy that everyone called Bo Diddley.
Oh, really? Oh.
He was weird. And when I used to ride by his house on my bike, he'd sick his dogs on me. And laugh and laugh and laugh.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
Get him.
He's mostly bones.
No, I told this story before. Yeah, his son was arrested for raping his grandmother.
Wow. Jesus
fucking Christ.
Yes.
Why aren't we covering that?
No, I grew up in it. And that's the crazy thing about it is that, like, I think I grew up in, like, such a dark, weird place that, like, Columbine was a blip.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
people
yeah,
barely,
yeah.
Like, it barely registered. No one talked, like, everyone just kind of went like,
yep.
And then no one, but, like, there was no, like, the school didn't address it. Oh, nobody talked to us about it. It was not in any way whatsoever.
We had a team of grief counselors.
We did, too. Yeah, they all came onto the school. No. I don't know why. Yeah, they were all.
Dude, we're in the fucking class, you know, we're, like, we look out into the fucking, I could look out the window and see a gun in, like, my friend's car.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
on the back, on the fucking, on the rack in his truck. Like, you could see guns. See guns.
Very different.
Yeah, very, very different. But, yeah, it just barely registered. Like,
yeah, there's just a guy with a piece of wheat in his mouth just going like, yep, I guess they just culling themselves. All right, children, now sit down. Let me tell you about why we should have won the Civil War.
No, it was, yeah, no one really paid much attention to it at all. I just remember, like, I'd read about it in the paper, but nobody really talked about it. It was very bizarre. It was very strange.
My play was canceled. My play. I had spent months. My schoolwork suffered. And you know how important I took my schoolwork.
Yeah, you're just finally an excuse for my D's.
Honestly, it was really, really like, Columbine, yeah. Columbine's really fucking up my schoolwork. I'm traumatized, yeah.
I think it's a difference between, like, going to a really small school and going to, like, gigantic, like, you guys went to gigantic schools.
Yeah, and over 700 kids in my class.
Yeah, and that's 400 more people than were in my town.
Yeah.
You know, or 300 more.
Yeah. My school's population was like your football game.
No, actually, our football game would probably be something like 80.
Shit.
Like 80 people, if that many, maybe 100.
Dude, I had like 45, 50 kids in every class I had.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I
used to regularly perform in front of like 1,000 children.
I think about that all the time. I used to do the pep rallies. I was like, I would do an hour.
Yeah.
No plan.
People.
I used to just improv in front of 1,000 people. That's
I had like 50 or 60 kids in like the entire high school.
Damn.
Like,
wow.
In the whole high school. Yeah. It was fucking nuts, man. It was weird. And I guess maybe because everybody knew everybody else, like, and that's the thing. Even I was like the weird kid, like, for the pep rallies, like, I don't, like, every class got to draw their own poster, and I always drew these like crazy violent posters, like, just like super fucking violent, and like it would be like all the rest would be like, you know, beat the bobcats, and mine would be like, decapitate the bobcats. And it would be like a guy like holding a head like above him.
See, nowadays
you'd
get pulled in with, like, there'd be like a psychiatrist there would be like the local congressman.
But even then, like I guess because everybody knew everybody so well, like, everyone's like, that's just Marcus. Like,
well, Marcus is creative.
He's creative. Like, you know, he likes his things. He likes his, you know, he likes his horror movies. And, you know, I like a horror movie every once in a while. But, you know, that's just Marcus. He's fine. He's all right. You don't got to worry about Marcus. He's just got his nose in a book all the time.
Yeah, and then you see the teacher, same piece of wheat, just been like, these kids all get to go to school 17. I'm sitting down to the swamps of Dunang.
Actually, I did have one teacher that was a Vietnam vet. That dude was fucked up.
Oh, of course. Like, you think homework's bad?
No.
You've ever stepped in a hole and had a bamboo shoot through your foot while your buddy's getting his dick bit off by a goddamn river snake? While you're serving for your country and you come back and no one comes to the parade?
Well, he wasn't tough at all. He was shell-shocked. Like, he had, like, kind of a, he had kind of a stutter, like, yeah. Like, yeah, okay, everyone needs to quiet down now, get real quiet, you know, you're just being a little bit too loud.
That's so much worse. Like, that's so much worse than a grind set.
It is so much worse.
Yeah.
It was so much worse, because, like, I'd just sit there and watch him and just be like, fuck me. Like, this guy, like, that's everyone's what war does to a man.
You just see, like, his eyes go blank, and you hear, like, wind flag. Ooh, red, white, and blue. As he's, like, watching, jungles burn.
No, this guy is, down, burn out.
This is the end.
Oh, yeah.
My only friend.
Saigon. Shit. Like, it's him doing the karate in front of the mirror at home.
No, he's that guy that was in the scene, like, the scene where they show up in the fucking trench warfare, and they're like, who's in charge here? And the guy goes, ain't you?
Ain't you? Yeah. Never get off the boat.
Yeah, that was that guy's Vietnam. Yeah. He did not come back tough at all.
Oh, no. Believe me, and the culture wars we're in are going to be no different.
The culture wars, what? That we're in right now?
We're all just veterans of the culture war, friend.
We are.
You and me. Eddie, this is just we're front lines. Green Berets. In the culture wars. That's my Vietnam.
We're in it. So one of the things that has kind of, I guess, gotten bigger since we did our episode, as far as an update on like the cultural significance of Columbine, is that we saw a large increase in Columbine fandom.
Oh, yes.
Really? This was a big deal. I mean, really, it did. I would say it started around the time that most weird things started on the internet. It's about 2012. That's just the year that everything changed.
Tumblr and all of that. The idea, that's when we went full, like, digital hive mind. Yeah. That was like when it was really starting to happen, when we were really starting to see the secret thoughts that probably should have kept secret or kept niche. You know what I mean? The idea of serial killer groupies is not an old, it's not a new phenomenon.
No.
Like, but it is, it got definitely super powered by the internet.
Yeah, it really did. And like you'd see like all these, we used to, at our old live shows when we just played exclusively videos, like we'd find like three or four like Eric Harris tribute videos.
Oh,
where
it would
be like a girl. There would be like a girl talking about how cute she thought he was and how much she loved him and how
so
she would worship him and all this shit. Like just really insane shit.
Remember the homies, the girls that all started like dyeing their hair orange after James Holmes shot up the movie theater.
Heath Ledger's performance was so powerful in The Dark Knight. It launched a world of douchebags.
Yeah,
it's wild to think just how good of an actor he probably would have to now like apologize for the Joker, which is really sad. He would probably have to go and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make everybody mad or crazy and talk about chaos and shit.
I think he'd have more gravitas than that. I think he'd have a little, I think he'd go out and talk about it openly.
I hope so. He fucking did hard work in Joker. It was the best comic book movie ever, and I'm not updating that. I don't care what anybody says. People try to tell me that The Dark Knight is not the best comic book movie ever. You will not take that from me. I like dark superheroes.
I mean, it's good. It's just the only thing that keeps it from being the best comic book movie ever is Christian Bale's Batman voice in that movie because it's fucking stupid.
I threw a bottle cap at him.
This man is known as a Joker. We should go and find the Joker. He's too bad.
I liked it. I'm still traumatized about this play that was canceled. I am still traumatized even thinking about the assault.
You should bring this Woody Allen play back.
I think that's
the time.
Now's
because
the time.
You know what really no one's talking about here is how does Woody Allen come back?
Yeah.
How does he come back? Because think about how he felt after Columbine. Mm. Oh, he loves kids.
I'm so worried about him.
He loved them.
But you know, it is crazy how they all ended up being right about Marilyn Manson.
Mm. Yeah. But he didn't. His music didn't drive violence.
No. Nope.
The man himself is a bad man.
Yes, the man himself is a fucking horrible human being.
Yeah.
Also Boca Raton.
Yeah, you know what it is too about Marilyn Manson.
He's from Boca.
You know he would be there a lot. One of his family members, and he would spend time with.
Yeah,
I used to see him at Borders all the time.
He used to be there all the time.
Yeah, he would just sit there. And I remember my buddy went up to him, and just been like, "Hey, you Marilyn Manson?" And he's like,
full Marilyn Manson.
And he's like, full.
No, he was just like, no. And then he's like, you're Marilyn Manson. And he's just like, no, I'm not. You
know? Yeah, yeah, don't look at me.
Giant platform shoe.
Yeah. Like, the white contact, the black contact. He's the only guy since Lewis Carroll to get fat on absinthe. He drinks so much absinthe.
Rise from your grave.
No, of course. Yeah, I mean, that was the shitty thing about Columbine, too, is that before we get back to the group.
One of the only shitty things.
Yeah, well, it's just how much people blamed, like, video games, violent movies, you know, all the music, all that bullshit. Like, it was fucking, it was stupid. Actually, Eric Harris's favorite band wasn't Marilyn Manson. He loved KMFDM.
Who are they again?
Industrial. KMFDM's fucking sick.
You like KMFDM? Do you think KMFDM. I'd like them?
Yes.
I like Nine Inch Nails.
You would love KMFDM. Do you like Ministry?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give you some KMFDM.
Okay, yeah. I want to get in my industrial phase.
Oh, you'll love it. Hey.
Wow. Okay.
Hey.
I'm sold. Not really. That is a good hit.
I'm sold.
You're sold. You'd love it. You would absolutely fucking love it. So let's get back to these groupies for just a second. I want to talk about one called Sol País.
Oh.
This is very recent. In mid-April 2019, a woman named Sol País, who was infatuated with Columbine, traveled from Miami to Denver with a one-way ticket and purchased a pump-action shotgun and ammunition. She purchased the shotgun legally at the Colorado Gun Broker, according to a post on the company's Facebook page. The gun shop is less than 2 miles away from Columbine High School, and she passed all background checks to legally purchase a firearm in Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado's had a lot of crazy shootings.
Oh, yeah. But isn't that the place where you just have to do the alphabet backwards? Isn't it one of those, like, how do you get a gun there by basically naming your favorite Sesame Street character, and if it's right, you get it, right?
If it's anything but Snuffleupagus, then you get a gun?
Yeah, I mean, Snuffleupagus, we were talking about how if Big Bird died in the Challenger, Snuffleupagus would probably have more of a place in pop culture.
Because he would be so sad. Because
he'd be next.
Oh, I thought you meant that his sadness would catch on.
No, it's because he's next in line.
He's
Fredo.
No, Oscar the Grouch is next in line.
Snuffleupagus is Fredo.
Snuffleupagus isn't real. What are we doing? He's not real.
He's on the show.
No, if anything, no, Snuffleupagus, I don't even think, is in the top five.
You can't kill what doesn't exist.
I don't know. I don't know. Cancel culture.
I don't know.
Ask John Hinckley Jr. You see his dates getting killed everywhere.
Yeah.
Cancel culture. Doing it to him. Oh. Mm-hmm. Can you believe?
He's doing fine.
Yeah, he's
out. I actually don't think he is.
He's out of prison. He shot a president. He's fine.
Cancel culture. Claims another victim.
Well, Pais had previously made comments about Columbine to friends and family members and had posted her thoughts about the massacre to online forums. According to officials, Pais had made credible but not specific threats before and after traveling from Miami to Denver. She also raised suspicions by purchasing a one-way plane ticket for April 15th, 16th, and 17th. Police in Florida contacted the Miami FBI office, which alerted the Denver office. Pais allegedly had a website in which she scanned handwritten journal entries talking about the massacre, the Columbine massacre. According to a CNN article...
She scanned her own handwritten journals?
She scanned her own handwritten journals and...
That's the whole point of writing it by hand.
You know, I kind of like how fucked up this is, because that's such a... That's a tell. That's a look into her mental... space.
Yeah. Well, it's also a look into how lazy she is.
Very much so.
Yeah. Because you should just that's what I do quite often with writing, is that I handwrite it first and then I type it up.
And that helps you edit. Yeah. That's an edit round.
Yeah.
She never learned home row.
No.
No. What's home row?
Yeah, the middle of the keyboard.
Oh. You think she was a tap, 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 one finger at a time?
That's how I tap. Yeah. I got fast one fingers.
You really tap? You type?
No, I do, but I don't do full official good typing, but I mostly use these two fingers.
Oh, no.
I use my wife fingers.
Your wife fingers?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's fingering fingers.
Yeah, well, I don't
thank know. God she doesn't have Sirius.
Yeah, she... If you do download the Sirius app and you're hearing this, my beautiful wife, Natalie... I love you.
I had a dream last night that your wife left you.
For who?
Just because you didn't want to be with him anymore. And you were living in this fucking horrible hotel, this really weird hotel. It was like on the beach.
Nothing's been the same since that play got canceled. Nothing's been the same.
How is this episode so funny?
It shouldn't be.
Yeah, and me and Carolina had to, like, you were so sad that me and Carolina were, like, bringing you groceries. And, you know, we were driving this weird Volkswagen Bug.
You better do this. And understand that that's what you're going to be doing.
But it was also 1978. That was the fun thing about
it. Interesting.
Yeah, and, yeah, you were living on the beach.
Because I just say, send an Instacart.
Yeah, no. We had to come bring it to you in our Volkswagen Beetle.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And
which is Ted Bundy's car.
Yeah. Interesting.
Same time period.
Interesting. How interesting.
You dream love, like, in the past?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's great. That's never happened to me.
Really? I've had that happen.
I've never been like, oh, look, it's 1952. Yeah. You know, that's crazy.
He's also been researching Cannes for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I feel like that also helps that he's been mentally in 1978.
Yeah.
1968 to 1974.
I don't care. I do care. I care. Essentially, I care. Not enough to be correct.
But yeah, and then suddenly, oh, man, do you guys ever have that thing in your dream? Do you get like really, really, really loud knocks in the dream? And it jolts you awake and scares the shit out of you.
I'm always tripping and falling, and then I wake up and I wasn't falling.
No, just the dream was going on like regularly, and then I just heard like, and then I just fucking got up out, and I thought that there was someone like outside my window, but there was nothing in there. There was just really loud knocks in my mind.
Maybe it was Bill Wilkins.
Mm. Oh, fuck you. Fuck you, I.
Fuck you.
Shit off.
Henry's wife can leave him. You need to be mentally prepared for when she leaves.
Tell me. Why isn't Bill telling me? Don't tell him. Tell me.
You have to take care of him for a while.
Talk with her.
Stated.
Bill, you tell her.
So back to Pais. According to a CNN article, some of the journals are barely legible, sometimes because of the handwriting, other times because of the scanning. There are a number of crude drawings of weapons, from long rifles to handguns and knives. One drawing has a trench coat figure holding an apparent weapon. That's why she scanned them, because if you don't scan them, you don't get the illustration.
You don't get the illustrations. Yeah. I understand. You don't get. I remember. I read the Kurt Cobain diary book.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Yeah. No, I don't. God, I would never. I mean, we're going to do a revisit on Kurt Cobain in the future, but I would never. I don't get why they publish like the personal journals.
Oh, pure just a.
It feels so fucking gross.
Did you not like Montage of Heck?
I didn't want to watch it because it just felt too gross.
Yes.
You did?
Yeah, and I don't even care for Nirvana.
There was a
you
better
don't care for Nirvana?
Too loud.
Let's not do this here, Marcus.
Wow.
Let's just not do this here.
Hey,
we can't.
Not right now.
He's allowed in whatever he says.
I like the Unplugged album.
And see, that's the thing. Ed's a music buddy. I greatly respect Ed's taste. I respect, like, his opinions about music. I'm never going to argue with him and tell him he's wrong. It's just a little surprising.
Yeah, no, I like them. I like to watch him live when he's in the dress.
Do you like Alice in Chains?
They're much better. I like them a lot more than I like Nirvana.
Interesting.
That's very, See, that's an opinion that takes true maturity.
Well, I mean, the first three albums. After that, it's not very good. They're Unplugged, I like more than Nirvana's Unplugged. As well.
He's got a beautiful voice, and even though he was barely functional during that Unplugged.
You know, I would say, but what you probably like then is that I would say that Nirvana's too intense for you.
We've really finally hit 1999.
Yeah.
I think that it's important for you guys to know as listeners. We've just taken you back to what it was like to be there in 1999.
Yeah, exactly. I'm more Soundgarden than Mudhoney.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm also more Soundgarden than Mudhoney.
Good for you.
Thank you. Well, in most of the entries, the individual rambles about feeling like they did not belong in this world or lived in a different dimension.
Ooh, yeah, sure.
Oftentimes, they would quote song lyrics. One message on the website offered a dark insight into its potential purpose. The purpose of this site is for me to give insight into the thoughts I rarely, if ever, share with others, while remaining somewhat anonymous. One of the messages on its homepage read, "Everything from journal entries to my personal entries. I want to leave a record of myself before I, well, dot, dot, dot."
I hate that so much. I hate drama queens. It's like, just, if you're going to kill me, do it.
Yeah.
Don't make a Facebook post. Okay?
Yeah.
Just shoot me in the head. If that's what we got to do, I don't need to hear all your fucking, your vamping. Okay?
Yeah.
Come on, just get it over with.
Yeah. Now, I wonder what the song lyrics were. I got to look this up.
I am in a box. Drowning in my shit.
Oh, my God. coal chamber.
Oh, yeah.
Me loco.
Yeah.
Me loco.
Dude, I fucking love coal chamber back in the day.
Yeah. You know, coal chamber broke up in Lubbock?
Really?
On stage?
Whoa.
Yeah,
you would have loved this lady.
Yeah, I fucking couldn't make the show. I was a big coal chamber fan back then, you know, really loved nu metal.
Yeah.
And I couldn't make it to the show that night. And my buddy Nixon, like, fucking talked to me the next day. He's like, bro, you should have gone to the fucking show. They fucking broke up on stage.
Oh, man.
I remember the bass player was very attractive.
Dude, very much
this
so.
This is a fucking elder millennial zone. I don't give a fuck about your zoomer fucking ass. This is the fucking real shit. Straight from the dome of a bunch of dudes that need blood thinners.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah, bro. You don't know what that fucking shit was like, dude.
Big truck. Big truck.
Yeah.
No. It's like written by a 4-year-old.
Yeah. This woman thought that it was so. This was her catcher in the rye.
Big truck.
That's the whole song. It's great.
It is. It's really fun. And that the guy cover was really fun, too. It's like the guy in the ice cream truck.
Oh, I loved it.
Really fun. Yeah.
Man, know what really turned me on? I saw them on the second stage at Ozfest.
Yeah.
It was a very dangerous mosh pit.
Remember
the most dangerous I ever saw? There was a skinhead with a knife between his fingers, and he was slicing people up. And then some big-ass dude just came by and clocked him and knocked him unconscious. It was wild.
Jackie and I went to go see Billy Joel at MSG. I also loved... You remember when we went to see Bob Seger and we all sat?
Oh, my God.
That was my favorite.
That was amazing.
No, man, I got to... There were some fucking great mosh pits. Like, Slipknot was an incredible mosh pit.
God. We have lost the plot here. We gotta get back.
These guys loved Cold Chamber and Slipknot.
Well, they're fucking dead now. No, they're all dead.
I would say they died right as Slipknot's first album was coming out.
They would have loved
it. I think
them.
It was 99 with Slipknot, maybe 2000. Mm. They would have loved Iowa.
They would have loved it.
Well, 19 school districts, including Jefferson County, where Columbine is located, closed while police searched for the woman. She was found dead near the base of Mount Evans on April 17th, 2019. That was 3 days before the anniversary of Columbine, of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Her body was found at the Rest House Trail near the Echo Lake Lodge in Idaho Springs, Colorado, approximately an hour away from Littleton, where Columbine is located.
It's actually really sad in a way that she committed suicide, but also I'm glad she did that instead of killing other people.
Yes. Yeah. Did she kill herself with a shotgun?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking
same crazy. Thing with you. Did you research about how Cagney Lynn Carter, the porn actress, also, she did the same thing. Full
damn.
On. Yeah, shotgun in the mouth. Not good.
Oh.
Jeez.
Who? Is that a bummer?
Cagney Lynn Carter?
Yeah, I was a fan.
Kurt Cobain. Here we go. Full circle.
I was a fan. I liked her work. She seemed like a nice lady.
Let me see here.
She seems like it was sad. It seems like porn is a horrible. It's been like porn and wrestling.
It does it's a tough lot of business.
Really, but yeah, it does bad things to people's brains.
She looks like Casey Anthony.
That's why I liked her.
Not necessarily. Well, no, she's blonde.
She looks a lot like Casey Anthony.
When I worked at the Village Warehouse.
I don't think she looks like Casey Anthony.
Take another look.
Hey. I don't think she looks like Casey Anthony.
Well, that's with her with brown hair. I had when I worked at the Village Poorhouse, I had a bartender that looked exactly like Casey Anthony when she was going out drinking all the time, and the picture started showing up, and then I was like, oh, my God, Meredith, what are you doing in
in
Florida?
Boca,
yeah. And then she was like, oh, it was me. Oh, my God. Poorhouse. One day, we're talking about 420, and I'm like, oh, you know, like the thing about 420 is, you know, in Columbine, all the kids who smoke weed, they all survive because they skip school.
Yeah.
And then one of the bartenders ran to the bathroom crying. I was like, what happened? They were like, she was at Columbine.
Go.
Her friends died.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Good.
And I was like, I'm sorry.
I'm
like this. I don't know what else to do about it. I wish I was different.
You know how many times I've said that exact yelling statement? I wish I wasn't this man sometimes too.
Me too. Actually, like, it was like 3 days ago that I was like, God, I wish I wasn't like this.
Yeah, it's just, what am I going
to
do?
Like, I'm like talking to my wife on the couch. I'm just like, I wish I wasn't like this.
Yeah.
I wish this wasn't my brain. I wish I wasn't like this. I wish I was something else.
But know what? That's what's putting food on the table, brother.
It is.
You're right. That fucking dark little bean of yours, all the torment you put yourself through every single day, even in your dreams. You are a podcaster. And yeah, that might not sound like much of a title to a lot of people.
It really doesn't, especially the HVAC guy that asked me today what I did for a living, and I told him, and he didn't know what it was.
But you know what? For good people for that do know, they like that.
By the way, I got a good HVAC guy for you.
Oh, yeah, good. Great.
Yeah.
No, I need a guy who knows how to suck.
You can't trust those guys.
Yeah, he's anti-HVAC, but I HVAC people. But
I know
also,
they're very helpful, but, you know, I've caught him napping before.
They do whatever they want.
Well, the first one that I got, we'll talk about it after the show.
Yeah.
I'll tell you all my HVAC adventures and why I like this new guy.
This entire
really
episode needs to be called, like, an elder millennials event. You know what I mean? Like, us just discussing things.
Yeah.
Time period.
Because what is really the update to Columbine? I made a bad joke and made a bartender upset.
It's not like
was a fan.
It's not like we look back on Columbine and now we're like, actually, it's pretty funny. You know what I mean? Like, it was bad. But it was more so like understanding that Dave Cullen's book, to wrap it all up, Dave Cullen's book was not the be-all and all source.
No.
We used it at the time because we didn't really understand. But more so, now that we have other views in, I still don't think it's that much different.
It's not.
But I do want to acknowledge that, like, yes, like we understand that Dave Cullen's book had a firm perspective, and we just kind of went with the perspective. We're like, nothing is as simple as anybody wants it to be. Everybody wants a simple explanation.
Yeah, but Dave Cullen's work on like the cover up of the police, you know, that them covering up all the things they missed, that was great. Like how all the myths of Columbine were created. All of that was like, that's solid fucking information. Like the girl who said yes, like how that myth was created and how like the pieces of shit who perpetrated that myth, you know, like made the girl who actually said yes, made her feel like shit and told her she was a liar and all that. Like Cullen did a lot of really great work in that book.
Yes.
It's just that he had a story that he wanted to tell and he skewed the narrative of like Dylan Klebold, who he was as a person. He skewed it towards that narrative. Yeah. And that's his prerogative. You know, that's fucking nonfiction writers do that all the time. And, you know, I guess decide for yourself whether that negates everything that he wrote. I don't believe it does. I believe that he made a bad narrative decision as a writer, but that's it.
It's important that when we do our research on Last Podcast on the Left, like we really do consider many views on the subject. We try to get like a stereo version as much as we can.
Yeah.
But it's also, we are using sources. And so every source, no matter what you do, you're not going to escape bias. It's not going to happen. But knowing now, as older people who've been doing this longer, like, the way to do it is to put three conflating and literally conflicting views together and see where they line up. And then also, what do you know about humanity? Which is why it's important for me. That's why, you know, when I get my diamonds delivered, I go out to the guy to the car. I don't want him to have to walk all the way through the security gates and the moat when he gets to my house.
Just
I walk
dodge
out
all the dogs.
Yeah, I go out to him because, like, I want him to see the guy who's getting the Rolex jockstrap. I want him to see that guy.
Can I ask a hypothetical before we go?
Sure.
Columbine doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Do all these other spree shootings happen still?
Yes.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Why is America headed that way?
The internet.
Yeah. The internet?
The internet. It's the internet is fucking with us in ways that we will not understand for another 50 years.
And no proper mental health infrastructure. There's nowhere for, there's no, like, America is just gotten a little crazy, and we got no place to go if you are a dangerous person, but you have yet to commit a crime, but you know you're kind of on a way to do it. Like, you know, like, there's no way to sort of, like, track and flag when someone's been talking about this behavior, even though there's probably many ways we could do it. They, you know, like, we just saw it happen with that Ethan Crumbly, with the two parents that essentially, they both were the first time ever you had a mom that got convicted of manslaughter for, like, helping the kid, basically buying the gun for the kid that went and shot up a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Like, we're just in a weird place. The reason why we blame the internet is just because the human brain just seems like it's not supposed to handle this many points of view at once, and it drives people crazy. There's also no media literacy. Nobody knows how to fucking read a newspaper or understand that the internet, your algorithm is only built to your specifications, so they think that the computer's talking directly to them and it's saying the truth.
But, you know, Adam Lanza, he wasn't on the fucking internet a whole bunch. Like, there's not, some of these guys are definitely outliers, of course, but I think it's, I don't know if we're going to understand the mass shooter phenomenon for a long time.
It has to kind of stop for a while. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, in order for us to look back on it, it has to kind of, we need a break.
Yeah.
And then we can look back on all the data.
Well, it's the I've been reading this fucking incredible book by David Mitchell. He was the dude, he was Mark Corgan in Peep Show.
Okay.
He recently wrote a history book about, like, the history of British rulers that's fucking incredible. It's so good. But he talked about, like, the, you know, Dan Carlin talks about the great men theory of history. The other side of that that kind of refutes the great men theory of history is the trend theory of history, is that these things happen no matter what. That's just, you know, if it wasn't William the Conqueror in 1066, it would have been somebody else.
Yeah, Randy.
Who united England. It might have happened a couple of years before or a couple of years after, but eventually, like, just the trends come. And
but that's a view
that's
of
how, that's just how history works. Like, it's just waves that we can't, things just fucking happen.
Yeah.
Like, things just happen and we can't do anything about it. And that's just the way history is. And we just, it's like more of a chaos theory type of way of looking at it than it is like a prime mover way of looking at it.
So who knows? It's probably a mixture of the fucking two.
It's probably a mixture of both. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, going back to what you're saying about the internet and social media having such a big influence on it, one of my best friends in the world, he's a teacher down in a school very close to Parkland, next town over.
Jeez.
And when all that shit went down, it's the next day he's talking to his students and they're just, you know, the curriculum goes out the window and he's just like, you know, what do you think? You know, as students, as peers, like, why do you think stuff like this keeps happening? And every kid in the class said, it's because of social media. It's because of the internet. And then he's like, do you think we should get rid of it? And every kid said, no.
Fuck. Yeah, because they don't know how to get out of it. They're addicted to it. They're literally addicted to it.
Yeah.
But hopefully we're getting there. And then, you know, even though, the sun is conscious, we know for a fact that the sun can think, right?
I've been seeing this around so many fucking places.
Look, and just send the sun flare.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do it. It might hurt the podcast for a while, but guess what? We're going to take the podcast on the road and do it with megaphones live everywhere across this country. So guess what? It might help.
Yeah.
It might be fun.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening to Last Update on the Left. We'll see y'all next week.
Hell, Satan. Huggy. See you on all of the things. TikTok, LP on the left. After we've just talked about that. Yeah, sure. Go on social media. Go patreon.com/lastpodcast on the left to see the main hub show on in video version. You can see our bodies flapping around. And we are also doing a live show that is not just the podcast. Go to lastpodcastontheleft.com. We're going to various North American cities.
Including Denver.
And various Australian cities. Go check out the JK Ultra Tour. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Or better be at least.
Bye, y'all.
Hey, hail Satan.
Okay, bye.
Hail Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm in the bar.
I don't care for them.
Thank you for enjoying The Last Update on the Left. You can find other shows that you'll enjoy from The Last Podcast Network on lastpodcastontheleft.com. See you there.